Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Chatter for Change. My name is Preston, joining the booth with Caitlin, Frisco, and Lily. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Good.
Oh, good. That's excellent to hear. Welcome to the month of May, y'all. How you feeling?
Good. We just said good. Great. Good.
Oh, well, the reason I ask that is, first off, we're getting really close to graduation. However, May is also Mental Health Awareness Month.
Wow, that's very important. I honestly didn't even know that.
Well, I didn't know
mental,
that.
Mental Awareness May. Mm-hmm. Ma'am.
And so, actually, River Valley Behavioral Health has a project going on that has a great opportunity for youth to be able to get involved and advocate for youth mental health. And it's called the Youth Mental Health Art Project, and it's due in May 31st. So, Caitlin, can you tell a little bit more about it?
Yeah, it says that you'll create a visual art project. Oh, yeah, by the way, it's for kindergarten through 12th graders, so it's really any student, and it will be a visual art project, which can include many things like drawings, paintings, sculptures, poems, and really anything else that is artistic, and that it is to promote mental health awareness and share a message of support. So the project of the year in each category, the two categories are kindergarten through sixth grade and seventh through 12th grade, they'll receive $500, a certificate, and a matching contribution for the school or nonprofit organization selected by the winners. The school or youth organization with the most entries will receive a Mental Health Partner of the Year certificate and $1,000. So there's a little bit of information that I can give you, and then you can also go to, where's the site at? What is the site? Do you know, Lily, what the site is called?
You can just go to River Valley Behavioral Health Facebook page and find their information there.
But it does say that you'll do your entry with your art project, but then you also need a separate paper that will have your name, your grade, your address, phone number. It can be your parents' phone number, your school or youth organization, and a brief explanation of the art piece. So just tell them a little bit about what you've done. And it, your entry can be submitted in person, which is at the River Valley Behavioral Health facility in Owensboro, or you can email it to, where is it at? contest@rvbh.com. So yeah, that's a little bit about that. That's a pretty cool thing to do. I like that.
It sounds like such a good opportunity to get to know a little bit more about mental health and to be able to advocate for it and share it in a really creative way.
Yeah, for sure. When I was in the hospital, actually on the rehab floor, they had this little case where when a certain group of the pain, like the pain diagnoses, is that how you say that? Diagnoses?
Sounds right.
But anyways, they, whenever they were like, got to leave the hospital, they would do like a little painting and like write a little quote on it. And they had them showing in that little case. And it was really cool to look by and see those every day. It kind of just boosted your motivation a little bit, boosted your spirits to see like, oh, well, all those kids did it before me, so now I know that I can get through it too. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Cool.
So that definitely check that out. That's a really cool opportunity. You said that it was due May 31st, right?
Yep, the end of Mental Health Awareness Month.
Oh, that's highly ironic, and I did not catch that. Duh.
Yeah, I definitely think it's important that we definitely raise awareness about mental health, because I don't think a lot of people really either take too much time to like really learn about mental health. And even if they do, there's not much that, you know, you can openly say about other, or, you know, treat it and, be able to,
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't take it seriously. Like they think, I don't know. Think a lot of people, see it as when someone has a mental health issue that they're just being over dramatic you know, things like that. And I think it's super important to spread awareness that it is a really serious thing and it happens all around us and we don't even realize it.
Right. I mean, I definitely think it's taboo to talk about it, because if you may have depression struggling with it, there's definitely like a level, like a barrier that you have to get over to speak to like a therapist or like, you know, the guidance counselor like at your school.
Yeah.
To just, you know, open up about it.
Well, I mean, the thing is with mental illness is that you could be hurting on the inside and not ever show it to anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, until you take that step to reach out to somebody, not only would nobody know, it's impossible to get better because you're not communicating with somebody about how you feel or what's going on. I mean, a dear friend of mine over the last year was really struggling mentally, and I felt really bad because no matter what I did and what I tried to do, I wasn't providing much help. However, I was able to help them convince themselves to go get help, and they are doing so much better now. And I'm just telling you, mental illness, for everybody listening, mental illness is a real thing. It is not just something that the person makes up, and there is help for those who want it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think this might sound silly, but I mean, there's 7 billion people on this earth, you know. Mm-hmm. Use it. Like, don't think that you have to fight alone. There's all these other people in this world that can help you. And even if you're like, well, I don't really have a lot of family, or I don't have a lot of friends, that's okay. Mm-hmm. There are still people out there who love you and care for you, and you have a purpose and you're here for a reason. So mm-hmm. just please go to someone and tell someone and let them help you get through this.
Well, I think on top of that is that I think it's very important to make sure that whenever you're reaching out for help, it's not something you should be ashamed of. It doesn't show sign of weakness. If anything, it's the exact opposite.
Absolutely.
You're being brave enough to admit that something is wrong when some people don't.
Absolutely. Because I know a lot of people who don't want to admit to themselves that they're hurting, right. Less someone else. They're like, and then a lot of people will brush it off, be like, no, I'm fine, right. I'm good, until it gets to the point where they just can't handle it anymore.
Well, I mean, that's the thing too, is that if you ignore the problems that's going on in your own head, you're eventually going to catch up with yourself. I mean, it's like wearing a backpack and putting rocks inside of it, right? Mm-hmm. The more rocks that you put in your bag, the more weight you carry. And eventually you're going to be crawling, and then you're not going to be able to carry that weight.
Absolutely.
Like, there is no sense in doing that to yourself. And I mean, it's so hard to watch people do that, because I've been stupid enough to do that myself. And it was just because I didn't want to admit that something was wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what this whole month is about, you know, just to address that and be able to spread to people, you know, like those listening, that, you know, like you were saying, Preston, it's not okay to just brush it off. The same way, you know, if you have a pain in your back or you see something physical, you know, on your arm or wherever, and you wouldn't brush that off instead of going to the hospital, what would be the difference if, you know, you're struggling with something mentally? Why would you brush that off if you're not going to do that physically?
Mm-hmm.
And just one other thing that you said, Preston, that I thought was also like very true, is that with physical pain, it's very easy to tell whenever something's working or not working, or there or not there. Because whenever you have a cut in your arm, you can easily see there's a cut in your arm.
Right.
But if you have something like anxiety, you know, that would be a lot harder to tell, because there's just subtle hints that you can look at instead of just saying, oh, you can actually see anxiety in someone. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important to note, because it's not as simple as just black and white when looking at mental health. It's very much per person and per situation, really.
Well, yeah. I mean, stuff like that requires a lot of reflection and a lot of conversations with friends and family, right? Because obviously you don't want to leave this problem alone, but you also want to make sure that you get the right help that you need. So I think as long as you're transparent about what's going on, I think you're going to eventually get on the right track to get the help that you need and be in a better mental state, because everybody knows that living in a bad mental state affects every part of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just everything you do every day, your crap, even just your will to just get out of bed and do your normal stuff on top of the craziness of what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, I definitely think there's some things like not being able to get out of bed that can really cause hard things. Like, just that isolation can be very hard for yourself, you know, just beyond that mental health that you or that mental issue that you may be dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, to turn the topic just a little bit, Lily, you want to tell us a little bit about your situation that you mentioned a little bit ago with the dentist?
Yes. So as we go into the summer, one of my very fun plans that I have is to get my wisdom teeth taken out.
Ooh, fun.
Party.
Oh, yes. And so I went to a consultation a few weeks ago, and it was just to schedule the appointment, just to kind of understand what the procedure was going to be like, things like that. So one of the things that the doctor mentioned was that I would be getting a prescription for Percocet. And it's a very I can't think of the word.
Strong.
A very strong drug that is highly addictive.
Right.
And I did some research and I was looking into it. And usually people don't actually need this Percocet for this wisdom teeth procedure. And so I decided that I was just going to refuse to get that prescription, and we'll see how that goes later on. But it was also really concerning to me because I have done a lot of work and had a lot of information that has been shared with me about instances like these and being prescribed these drugs that are really strong. And it was really worrisome to me because almost every teen has this wisdom teeth procedure. A lot of them do. And if they don't know to refuse these drugs that they might not need, then it often leads into a very serious cycle of addiction.
Yeah. It's so crazy to think, like, you know, when it starts, it's not that they're using that drug for something wrong. They are using it for pain that they've been prescribed. But then let's say once the pain's gone, they still have some extra pills in the bottle. They're like, heck, you know, might as well keep going. You know, why stop now? And right. It just continues escalating until it gets like too out of hand that they can't handle it anymore.
And I was actually looking at the statistics, and teens who did end up taking these stronger medicines after they got their wisdom teeth removed are at an astronomically higher rate for addiction then, and then also later on in their life, because that's normally their first introduction to these kinds of medications.
Yeah, that's so crazy. I know, I think I might have mentioned this on a previous podcast, but I'm going to talk about it again a little bit. I know when I was in the hospital and I was having a lot of problems with my knee, they gave me a drug called oxycodone that I'm sure y'all have heard of, which is also, I don't know where it is on the scale, but I know it's a fairly strong drug, and it worked. I mean, it took the pain away for the time being. But I do know that that day, because I was only on it for a day, but I do know for that day that that's all I was holding on to. And like I said, I think I mentioned this before, so I'm not trying to just repeat myself, but it's in the category, so I guess it...
Yeah, I think it's a really valuable anecdote.
Yeah, like I know for that day, like I was like, when can I get the next pill? Has it been 2 hours? Can I get it? Like, I remember I was just crying my eyes out because my knee was like in excruciating pain, and I was like, where's the oxy? Where is it? I need it. How long has it been? Like, that's really what... And obviously, I wasn't on it long enough to be addicted because I was only on it for a day. But for that day, like, that's what I rested my hope in. And that is... It's just... It breaks my heart because it makes me think, like, if my knee pain would have lasted any longer, you know, like, or if for other people who do have pain that lasts longer than mine did, you know, and they do get addicted to it because it does work. It did. It helped my pain. It relieved my knee pain. But then, like, if I would have gotten addicted to it, like, it had side effects too, you know. And then there was this other medicine called Dilaudid that's really crazy that I was on. And I was like, I wasn't in any pain, but I was hallucinating. I was seeing people, like my little cousin John. I was seeing him in a reflection in the TV.
Oh, my goodness.
And I knew I was hallucinating, but I didn't like it because I was like, Mom, I see John. Like, why do I see John? I know he's not here.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I also, when I looked at my dad, it looked like his face. I don't know if you've ever seen the toilet bowl filter on Snapchat where it swirls your face.
Oh, right.
That's what my dad's face looked like. There was words popping off the wall. Like, I did not like it at all. So, yeah, it did take the pain away, but I was hallucinating. So then if I would have been on it for long term, you know, who knows what could have happened. So sorry, I definitely just took away from your story. But
oh, no, you're totally good.
I just realized you were telling a story and I totally took it.
No, you're good.
Yeah, my story was done.
Okay. But yeah, so you have to be really careful. So no, there's nothing wrong with taking pain medicine during that time. Like if you are having that knee pain, like I was in the hospital, and they give you this pain medicine because that's what you need. Yeah, that there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's being able to have the willpower and the strength to stop after that and not say, oh, I still have some extra pills, so I'm just going to keep them for later. You know, like don't even say I'm going to keep the extra just in case. Don't even give yourself that chance, you know, because who knows? I'm not saying I would have ended up taking them home and gotten addicted, but if I would have had the opportunity and then I would have had a slight knee pain one day, not excruciating, and said, here, I'm going to take this because I know it works. You know, it continues to escalate, and then, yeah.
Yeah, it's just that idea of if you don't need them, then don't take them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, if you keep those pills around, that always leaves the door open.
Exactly.
I mean, just like what you said, I mean, one day if I get knee pain or I get a headache, what's the big deal of just popping a pill or two? And the next thing you know, you're addicted to those medications.
Exactly. And then especially like if you're taking those strong drugs outside of a hospital setting and you're not like fully aware of how much you can have and within how many hours you can easily like overdose quick. Like, you know, with those really strong drugs, it's probably one every, you know, so many hours. But then if you're like pop it like Tylenol and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna take two right now and I'll take two in 6 hours or whatever, then you're probably going to end up screwing yourself over, and that's not a good idea. Well,
right.
And then that also, to reel it back into mental health, you know, mm-hmm. getting addicted to drugs and getting in all of that can get you into a horrible mental state. And a lot of people are like, you know, it helps the pain, it makes me feel better. Yeah, but then what is that doing to your brain?
Exactly. Well, it's funny you mention that, because I know a few episodes ago we talked about what our mental state was when COVID first started.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know for sure that I said that if I had been on any kind of drugs at all, my mental state would have been 10 times worse than it already was.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you have to keep in mind how much of an effect drugs and prescription mm-hmm. drugs can have on your mental state.
Yeah. Because
it's hard enough without the medications, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we go through mental battles every day. And, you know, it's so hard to watch people, especially with your story. Like, I never even heard the story about you hallucinating with that medication.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so hard to hear those stories. And that's why I think it's so important that we teach people the dangers of keeping these pills around and still using them.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of people will like start with something like Tylenol or Advil or ibuprofen even. And they're like, well, I mean, it's just an over-the-counter drug. I'm like, yeah, it starts there. But if you're just taking it to take it, like, yeah, every once in a while I'll get a headache, like a migraine or a headache or something, and I will take some Tylenol because, you know, that's what it's meant for.
Right.
But if you're just taking it to take it, or if you take in like four at a time, you know, like it starts with that over-the-counter drug. But then if the more you do it, the more it will just build up and get to those super strong drugs. And so, yeah.
So I guess to turn the tide a bit.
Okay,
let's switch it up. So I guess moving on from that, I know you're talking about from just your mental health to coronavirus. I want to know, how have you been feeling leading up to graduation?
Oh, gosh. I, for lack of better words, senioritis.
Yeah. Senioritis.
That's what I gotta say. If there's not a drug for that either, so don't even get started, because I think a lot of people I think will actually, like, on a serious note, people will take this like senioritis and getting like I guess demotivated. Unmotivated, but
sure. Yeah, I don't know.
They'll be starting to get really exhausted at this point of the year and unmotivated, and they're like, I just need a little boost. I just need something, like, just a little bit, like, to get me moving to the end of the year, just to get me to the end of the school year, especially seniors when they're just so close to being done.
Right.
And so I think like that can make them want to turn to that kind of stuff. So you turn to the situation, or you turn to the subject, and then I turned it right back. But anyways, my mental health, I mean, I do have senioritis. I am ready to be done. But I've had to think, like, we are getting to end out the school year doing quite a bit of stuff. Like, we're still getting, we got to have a prom. We're getting to have a project graduation. We're getting to have a senior night, like all these different things. And so that has really motivated me quite a bit to think, like, I am going to be able to end it out strong. Yeah. But I'll give somebody else a chance. I feel like I haven't stopped talking.
What? Well, I guess on a...
Oh, Lily's sorry. Like, yeah, I know.
Well, I think that was such a great question, Gabriel. But I am just so excited for the future. You know, after you graduate, there's so many new opportunities that are open to you. And so that's only really you. What my mental state
only
is.
Only you. Adulting scares me.
I know. Well, yeah, I've had a different experience than you. But... You know, I've just been feeling good. Just feeling good. Happy that the past 12 grades, you know, going through this, it's finally over. Yeah,
13 years.
Technically,
in the
it's
making.
13 grades.
Okay.
Technically.
No. Technically, he's right.
No, technically. No,
okay, let's
okay,
not get over this.
12 grades
right
plus
now.
Kindergarten.
So technically 13.
No, it, kindergarten is kindergarten.
Okay, Gabriel, continue
what's
your story.
Grade? What grade are you in? Oh, I'm in kindergarten. That's a grade.
That no, it is not.
Yeah. What is that, like grade zero?
Kindergarten.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. No.
That's like
okay,
saying zero
that's besides
the, number.
The point. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Anyways, I've been feeling good. Just
is cereal a soup?
Okay. What? Anyways.
It's that same conversation, though. Sorry, Gabriel. Go ahead. Go
all good. It's all good. Just
I'm
let
not
it
sorry.
Out.
That was important.
No, it's okay. Okay, so just feeling about, you know, that end of the year. I've not been feeling senioritis normally after every grade. It's just feels like my brain's just done. It's like it's reached its limit.
Right.
Just going through all the stuff at the end of the year. And then just finally to take a break. Just normally, like, you know, like freshman, sophomore, junior years, it's just like feel done. Like my brain, I can't get any more work assignments done. Except this year, I'm feeling good. I don't know. It's like I've not, you know, experienced that overwhelming, you know, feeling of just I want to be done.
Feeling good. Well, like I should.
Yeah. But I know the future is coming. So I, like Lily was saying, you know, just ready for the future. For me, it's just been, I've started, like, because I just recently finished this week with the senior academy program, so, like, the early college program.
Right.
And so, we took our finals this week, and so, as far as academic classes go, we're done. And so, you know, I've started saying the first goodbyes to those that have been in those classes with me. Now, I'm not talking about those that are from the high school. I'm talking about like from different classes or from different high schools and that sort of thing. So it's like just started to say the first goodbyes and because I'm not going to see them again.
Right.
Or so at least, you know.
Farewell. I bid you. Oh, sorry.
No. You're fine. On that note, do people from other schools actually talk to you? Because I feel like whenever I walk into a room and there are people from other counties, they're like, ooh, what's his kind doing in here? He doesn't
what's his
here.
Kind? Not them Western counties.
Oh, not them country folk.
Well, I mean, just that interaction with the other students, you know, just being open, you know, if you're in a group together.
Yeehaw.
You know.
Yeehaw, howdy ho.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like,
so,
I mean.
Yeah, so, I mean, just that interaction with other students. So that's how I've been able to say, you know.
Wee-woo.
I mean, I'm not, like, avoiding all other counties, you know.
Obviously, yeah, I'm not saying that I'm avoiding them. It's just I'm very introverted, right? So I'm not going to be the kind of guy like first day of class that walks in and shakes everybody's hand. That's not who I am.
Yeah.
That's not who I will ever be. But I think I'm in the same boat with you is that if we're working on something together, obviously I'm going to interact with them and treat them the same way that I would with you or anybody else I've ever known.
Yeah. And so, you know, just starting those farewells to all the other students, I guess, you know, it's good getting some practice in for, you know, in a couple of weeks whenever we go to like the senior breakfast or the parade or project graduation. And then from there, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'll see most other students anymore. I don't know. I haven't had personal experience of just constantly running into
Oh, you haven't?
No.
You're telling me you haven't graduated and then came... Okay. I didn't know
I don't know. Do you...
I really thought you were like 30 and you just came back to high school for the heck of it.
What?
Because he said he hasn't had personal experience with graduating and saying bye to his friends and stuff. I was like, really? You haven't?
Okay.
It was sarcasm. Because obviously you haven't had experience with that.
It's hard to read. Go ahead.
Well, do you count middle school graduation, though?
Well, no, because we literally walked 2 feet over to get to the high school. So.
Fair enough.
Anyways, reel it in, folks. Lily's trying to mom us here.
Oh, okay. So, as far as my perspective goes, I think I'm just taking it day by day at this point because we've got 12 days left, right? And, you know, obviously, I don't want to rush into my future.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I want to take it at the right pace. So, obviously, I'm in the same boat with you. We just got done with finals. That's great. So, now I'm just trying to soak in every day because not only are we never going to get this year again, we're never going to be together like as a senior class ever again.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Oh, one more thing, just to go back to what we said earlier about that mental health art project. I just wanted to say the number real quick in case someone doesn't have Facebook, or if you're a younger kid who doesn't have an email and stuff, I can tell you the number so you can tell your parents. It's 270-689-6565. So you can contact her name is Diane McFarling, and she is, I guess, the coordinator of the contest, I presume. And you can call her and figure out how another way you can get your project to her. So don't forget about that. And thank you guys so much for listening.
One last thing that I wanted to touch on, Preston. It's just one last thing. You said something that I recently have thought of a lot, and that was you're just taking it day by day, and you're not rushing to get finished. So recently I've just been like, you know, reading around, watching different things.
Yeah.
And that kind of hit me as well. Like, I mean, of course, I mean, I guess for a more slang term, it's just like getting those vibe checks. So like, you know, like just making sure you take the time to stop and see where you are right now. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like you said, you have 12 days left. That I had no idea.
Yeah.
There's only 12 school days school days.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so don't wish your life away. Make every moment count. You only live once. So make it real. Make it matter. Keep it real. That's what I was trying to say. Not make it real.
Yeah,
keep it real. Yeah. Make it count.
Yeah. I just think that a lot of times, you can just get in that endless, routine of, you know, you just look at the next goal. So like, for example, like you're saying, Preston, like there's middle school graduation and then you just think, oh, it's only 4 more years until high school graduation. Then I can do whatever I want to. And then I think for, you know, all of us, we're going into college, and then you can think the same thing. Oh, just 4 more years or 2 more years, however many years you go to college. And then you finally get to enter your job. And I think a lot of times it's easy to just get those, I guess, mile markers, you know, this is where you're progressing. And I think
why are we always so worried about the next thing? Why can't we just live in the moment, I guess?
Right. I think it's so important to just be where you are in the moment, because you're not going to get that moment again, and you're not going to get the same opportunity again, because our world is always changing. We're always changing. Mm-hmm. And I think football taught me that pretty quickly. I think first practice this year taught me that, holy cow, I'm getting old. I'm going to graduate. I'm not going to get the chance to play again.
You're like a whole man. you're 18.
Well, I mean, aren't most of us 18?
I'm 17.
17.
Lily, 17. What? Frisco, 17.
You're the old.
I'm the old. I keep forgetting that.
You're the head honcho.
Oh, totally. But
yeah, I just.
Anyways.
If you take anything from today, just be where you are right now, because you're never going to get that chance again. And just if you need mental help, please get it. Do not be afraid to reach out, because it will take you on a completely different path than where you are in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And enter the art project contest.
Oh, yeah, that too. All right. Well, this has been an excellent episode. Thank you guys for being here, and we will see you all in the next one.
Bye.